Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, this is Richard Cohn. I'm the publisher of Beyond Words and the host of Authors Beyond Words. And today I have the pleasure of inviting to our listening audience a very wonderful man, Letao Wong. And Letao, if you'll allow me, I'd like to read just a little bit about your background so that our listening audience knows a little more about you before we start.
Absolutely.
So, Letao is an acclaimed author of Oracle of the Mythic Heroes. He's a professional astrologist, he's a tarot specialist, and he's the founder and spiritual counselor of the Healing Kingdom. He has been offering astrology, tarot, and numerology readings to clients in Hong Kong and abroad since 2015. In addition to his services, he shares his insights through Bustle.com's astrology column, where he is a regular contributor. An excellent marketer and a very sensitive intuitive, Letao was named the best astrologer and tarot specialist in 2021 by Hong Kong Most Outstanding Business Award and Spiritual Guide of the Year in 2020 by Hong Kong's Live Magazine. And he was given the Hong Kong Influencers Award in 2019 and again in 2020 by Hong Kong Living Magazine. Letao is also a member of the Hong Kong Society of Counseling and Psychology, as well as a member of the Australian Counseling Association. His own education includes a master's degree in counseling, a master's degree in translating, and interpreting Chinese and English, and an advanced diploma in applied astrology, and a bachelor's degree in English. So if you'd like to learn a little more about Letao, go to www.thehealingkingdom.com. Letao, a pleasure to be with you here today.
Hello, Richard. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's awesome to be here.
I remember very fondly when you contacted us about actually publishing an oracle deck that you had created, and then you, on your own, came to Portland, Oregon to meet me and my wife and all of our staff, and that was a very special trip.
Yeah, I mean, that was back in 2000, I think, maybe 2-3 years ago. Yeah, I think it was my first time to Oregon, Portland, because I, you know, working with the right publisher was very important to me, and I think at that time we were in the very initial process of, you know, editing and, you know, just working on Oracle of the Mythic Heroes, which, you know, we successfully published in January, I think, this year. It was an amazing trip, and thank you so much for your hospitality. I really enjoyed the time that I spent with you guys.
Well, and we did as well, and it was so much fun. Portland is famous for its Rose Garden. And had that garden has been in Portland, I don't know how many decades, but probably at least 100 years. And
wow.
To be able to spend a beautiful sunny afternoon with you and with some of our staff walking through the rose garden, taking pictures, smelling roses. It's something I'll always remember.
Yeah, I actually didn't know at that time that you had a passion, right, for photography and, you know, taking photos of the plants. But late only, you know, after that trip, I noticed that, you know, in our official Instagram, you know, there are a lot of photos by you. And I was thinking, wow, that was really meant to be, you know, the rose garden.
We do a special flower on Friday.
I see.
That Brenna puts on our website, and it's a pleasure for me to have the fun time of finding all these beautiful flowers to photograph.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Yeah. Mm.
Thank you. I know that your home base is in Hong Kong, and when did your interest in astrology start?
Wow, that was, to be honest, compared to a lot of astrologists, right? I mean, my spiritual career really started late. You know, because I have other friends who are astrologers, and they, you know, they pretty much started their, you know, learning astrology, where they became very interested in astrology at a very, very young age. But I was different because I grew up in a very a traditional Chinese family, and my education had nothing to do with, you know, the esoteric art, you know, the mystic side of the world. And only I think the first time I encountered astrology and also tarot was when I was, I think I was already 24, and I was doing my first master program in Sydney, Australia, and I encountered my first teacher there. Yeah, and you know, at that time I was, you know, I received a reading from him as a client, and that's how I saw what he was practicing. But you know, that's what really opened the door for me, and I never felt anything like that before. You know, the things that I saw, the wisdom he had, it was definitely a turning point in my life.
You know, sometimes in life, it's like the destiny that we are meant to have comes to us in ways that we least suspect. And it sounds like you were able, your passion presented itself to you through that professor.
That's actually quite an amazing day, to be honest, because I had no intention to meet a fortune teller. I mean, he was actually a very famous psychic reader, yeah, in Sydney at that time. And I was, you know, a poor student. I was doing my master program, and I had no income, you know, and my parents was sending me some, you know, minimum, you know, monthly support, right, allowance. And I was just on the street with a friend. We were just walking. We had some coffee, and we were walking down the street, and I saw his shop. I almost didn't go in because his shop was kind of scary. You know, I still remember there was a skull on there. And my friend, a Japanese friend, and she was like, you know, this is really cool. What do they sell? Let's go inside and check it out. And I said, really? I said, well, I don't know, you know, but then, you know, we went in, and that's, you know, how, you know, things started. And so it was a very interesting moment, right? I mean, you never planned this, and when the opportunity presented itself, I actually didn't want it because I was not sure what I was getting myself into. But that really became the first, what do you call that? It's like the seed just sprouted. Right,
yeah.
And that just started, you know, later, you know, then I started to study, and I became his student, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that was kind of interesting. I'm 40 this year. That was 24, so wow, 16 years ago. Difficult, hard to imagine, right?
Well, and clearly, that moment that then led to the career that you now have, has certainly been recognized by people all over the world that you're the real deal, and they can gain lots of wisdom by doing readings with you.
I have the fortune to actually meet a lot of amazing clients, and I really feel these years we are all growing together. They are growing in their own emotional journey. They go through their transitions, and through counseling them, I also feel I'm becoming a better reader. So I really feel this is a great teamwork. This is a mutually empowering process. So I'm really grateful to those amazing clients that I have.
And do you learn something each time you do a reading?
It's very interesting, yeah. So when it comes to, there are two parts of, I think, wisdom that I gain from doing a session with clients. I think the first part is actually the mystical knowledge, right? So sometimes during the reading, the client is sharing their stories. And when I'm listening, I'm looking at the spread in front of me, and then suddenly something would hit. And then I'll realize, oh, okay, I never knew, for example, this combination of these two or these three cards could mean this, but now listening to them, I suddenly would have this epiphany about the meanings of the cards, right? And so sometimes I do find new rules or new meanings of the cards and spread, and that's something that I learn. But I guess at a deeper level, more importantly for me is I'm also learning something about myself. My clients, of course, they wouldn't know because they might just think that, okay, LaTal is counseling me. He already know everything. But sometimes I don't. Sometimes, well, because we're all human, and sometimes we go through the same stories, right? And when I'm listening to a client's story, and there's a voice in my head saying, LaTal, you totally did the same thing when you were in your 20s. You know what I mean? So in a way, it really helped me resonate with a client's story, but also at the same time, either I will be able to share my experience and my thoughts better, or sometimes my clients' ideas and their reactions and what they're going through their mind is helping me to understand how I should better deal with my own psychological challenges or emotional challenges. So, like what I said earlier, this is really an empowering process. And this is really what I have always wanted to do from the first day of my career.
And when you get the little voice in your head, is it very subtle? Is it, does it, if you don't act on it, does it come back and say it a little firmer?
It does, actually, because sometimes, you know, in the session, I might feel that a voice, yeah? But because I'm with a client, and I can't really deal with that for myself. But usually after the session, at some point, that will hit me again. And I have a journal book, actually, so I write down a lot of the things, about how I feel. Sometimes it's about my affirmations, right? You know, each month we have a lunar cycle. So I usually do my lunar journal there as well to write down my affirmations and wishes and hopes. And also in that journal book, I will write down, you know, the thoughts and the voices that I hear in my mind about, you know, the client session and what I felt at that time. And what I was subconsciously trying to tell myself about that experience. I literally have the journal books around next to me now. I already got 7 books. They're a whole pile. I'm actually thinking, how do I still keep them, or maybe I should just dispose? Because it's getting more and more. I mean, Richard, do you do journals?
I do sometimes. Yes.
What do you do about your own journal? I mean, do you throw them away? I mean, after, you know, many years, or you just keep them?
I actually keep them. And in fact, for maybe 60 years, I wrote poetry.
Yeah,
prose. and never published it, never sent it into, you know, you can send a poem into a newspaper or a magazine. I never did that. And then roughly 50 years after I had been writing, an opportunity came for me to publish my poems. And
wow.
And so I did. I'm in the process right now of writing a what might look like a memoir, but really more a self-help memoir, so that it's geared to look at the experiences that I've had and the successes and the failures and how those can help someone else
right.
on their path. And it sounds like your journaling is similar.
It's a very powerful reflective channel, right? Journaling. Sometimes I even recommend my clients that they should do it. I'm just like looking at my journal, and sometimes, you know, when I look back, let's say the things that I wrote, let's say 3-4 years ago, I might get a little bit embarrassed because I, you know, it almost looks like it's written by someone else. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the journal was very emotional. It was, you know, either I was maybe going through a difficult period of time, or I was just being emotional. And reading that, I was thinking, how did I feel at that time? So I guess in a way, like, I really want to read it, you know, my past journal, but also I'm a bit embarrassed to read it. It's kind of interesting feeling, right?
Well, sometimes, and I've noticed this in writing poems and prose, that sometimes when I go back and look at pieces that I've written 10 years ago or more, I can't believe that I actually wrote that. And it's like something came through me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a deceased poet, a Lord Byron or someone coming through me from the other side writes this beautiful poem, but I mean it's in my handwriting and I know I wrote it, but
yeah, I totally understand that. Yeah. And you know, several days ago, you know, we had an exhibition in Hong Kong, and it was for a very well, he was already, you know, he already passed away, I think 8-9 years ago. He was a very famous author and writer from Hong Kong, and he wrote a lot of like Chinese fantasy fictions. It's a little bit like, you know, Harry Potter, but the you know, with a Chinese theme, you know. And sometimes we call that knight errant, you know, that those ancient, you know, Chinese knights, and you know, their adventures and their stories. And his name was Jin Yong, and he was super famous in Chinese, and not just in Hong Kong, in China, but also in all Chinese culture places like in Taiwan and also in Malaysia, Singapore. And I was in that exhibition, and the reason was because when I was 18 years old, I published my first book in China, which was also, you know, because I was influenced by him. And that, you know, at that time, because I started writing when I was 16, and I was feeling like an author, you know, I was totally feeling it. And I was thinking, wow, I'm amazing. You know, I wrote this stuff. And then I brought this to publishers, and of course, you know, there was, you know, a lot of luck there, and also because I was really young, right? So a publisher in China picked it up, and they loved it, and they published it. But I still have one copy in my hands, right? Because, you know, this was published back in 2000 or 2001. And, you know, I just read it the other day. I was thinking, oh, I don't remember what I wrote. And it was very weird. And part of it was this awkward feeling. And I was thinking, how did I have this audacity to send this to publishers? This is shit. But later, I was also reading something quite, you know, that I really enjoyed. And I was like, wow, this part is really poetic and sensational. Like, how did I know that when I was 16? So it's very mixed feeling, right? You know, when you look at something that you wrote like 20 years ago or something, yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah,
it is fascinating because I know as if I wrote my first poems when I was 16, also in English class, and we were told we had to write a poem, and and I wrote something, and I got an A. And then the teacher said, "And now you, this weekend, I want you to write a Shakespearean sonnet." And so I wrote one, and I got an A again. So when I published my book of poetry, I actually sent a copy to that teacher, who was now, I think he was probably in his 80s, and he was so thrilled that he had been the catalyst to start me on that journey, even though it was something that neither of us knew would happen, and it did.
I really think a good teacher could change our path a lot, right? And I mean, I've experienced an amazing teacher when I was like 14, actually, but that was for a different reason, yeah. But I really believe that, being a teacher, especially for younger, teenagers, because that's a time when people go through a little bit changes in their mind, sometimes depression, sometimes anxiety, the adolescent stuff, right? And I think having a very wise teacher and a teacher who cares plays such an important role in our development.
Absolutely.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar, you deserve it. Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Latao, when you were talking about the impact that a teacher can have in one's life, I see you now very much as a teacher yourself, in that the works that you have published, the Oracle of the Mythic Heroes, and the new deck that you've just created, just published. I actually have one of the first copies in my hand. It's called the Oracle of the Celestial Deities, and I think that. And I don't know if this was your intention, but clearly the information that's in the card deck as well can really be educational for people and for clients as they're using the deck.
Correct, yeah. So there is, in both decks actually, right, the Mythic Heroes and in celestial deities. I pretty much dedicated a whole chapter for the teaching part. I think this is probably the most important part compared to the storytelling of the ancient myths and the narratives, because at the end of the day, this is where we draw the wisdom from our ancestors and the past. And when I was writing that part out, I tried to make it as clear and as direct as I could. And so this is the part that is really connecting the myth with our daily experience, what we need to do now. That's really the initial intention when I created those two decks.
And this, the Oracle of the Celestial Deities, really is a blend of Greek and Roman mythology. Also, you include crystals and zodiac signs. How do all these tools work together when you do a reading?
The celestial deities actually, I had a much heavier focus actually with astrology, because you can see the 20 cards. Each card depicts an ancient Roman deity, and our planets in the sky are named after those Roman gods. So, for example, you will find Jupiter, Saturn, you will find Mercury, Venus, and also some of the asteroids in the sky, such as Persephone, such as Juno, such as Vesta. These two parts are always closely connected. And in the reading session, usually what I do is I will start with a spread, and I'll look at each individual card's meaning. But the most important thing is that we're looking at the stories that those deities are playing in this. The bigger picture. So, for example, I always use this example when people ask me how to use this deck of cards. So, for example, when someone says, "Okay, I'm asking a question about my company or my team, and I want to know whether we're working on a project. I want to know how this will go." And then what you got is you got Juno, you got Neptune, and you got Jupiter, and these three cards. And usually, when you read Oracle card, you will read them individually, right? The first thing you will say, okay, so what does Juno mean? And what does Neptune mean? And what does Jupiter mean? And you put them in sequence, like past, the present, future, and things like that. But the fascinating thing about Oracle of the Celestial Deities, also a mythic heroes, is you can see the fascinating story among these three gods, and that will give you a lot more information about the client situation. For example, when you have Juno and Neptune sitting together in the spread, you know that there's probably a lack of trust in there. Because in ancient mythology, Apollo and Artemis' mother, whose name was Leto, she became pregnant with those two gods, right, still in her belly. And the problem with the father was Jupiter, was Zeus. And of course, Juno found out. So she was trying to kill this woman, and she told all the islands around all the lands on the in the world, saying, "Do not allow this woman to give birth, wherever she goes." And so everybody would reject her, and she was carrying this big belly everywhere, not sure what to do. And it was Neptune who felt sorry for her. So Neptune created an ocean bubble and secretly sent her to a remote island, and this island is called Delos. These days you can still visit this island in Greece. And that's the place where she could find peace, and she could find the safe haven for her to give birth to Artemis and Apollo. So when you know the relationship with Juno and Neptune, you already know that there's some kind of teamwork problems, because someone is doing something behind someone's back. And then you also are looking at Jupiter. Jupiter at the end is a good thing, because it's talking about development, expansion, growth, everything. But also you notice that there is also Juno there. And if you know the marriage between Juno and Jupiter, you know it's tumultuous, because Jupiter keeps cheating on her, and she keeps getting upset, and she will revenge, right? And back and forth, back and forth, but they will never divorce. So you can see this fascinating dynamic within this team. It's a bit like people will always stay together, but they keep fighting. They keep having different opinions, and everyone has their own vision, and everyone has their own agenda. And so this is a fascinating thing about looking at using these two cards, and you're looking at not just each individual card's energy, but you're looking at their relationships and how they worked with each other in the context of mythology. And you get so much more information about what the, you know, what the client is actually going through at that time. And so this is what I really wanted to bring forth to my audience who are interested in using these two decks. Even you can shuffle these two decks together, actually, and you will be able to find the stories between the gods and also the mortals.
I was listening with fascination, as I'm sure our readers or our listeners are, and probably all wanting to get a deck so that they can, or one of each deck, so that they can shuffle these cards and learn. It's interesting, just as you were speaking, to see that as you would do a spread of three cards, also there are the stories of the interrelationship of each of those gods represented there, and how that can help reflect on what's going on in your own life.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't think it's very common in Oracle decks because, you know, I have a big collection of Oracle decks at home, and most of those decks, you only read them individually. And there's no stories, you know, in them, right? And that's also the reason why in the guidebook I would also dedicate a chapter just for the storytelling. Because without the story, 50% of the deck is gone. And so by learning each individual card and learning the mythological stories, then we really, take advantage of everything. So that's also something that I really, highly recommend to audience, right? If you love storytelling, if you love mythology, definitely give it a go.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com. Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
in the Oracle of the Celestial Deities that you have written that has just been published, you encourage users to connect with astrological archetypes for cosmic guidance. What wisdom might we gain from the stars and the planets and the constellations?
This is a very interesting topic, yeah? I think, let's say, I've been asked more than once, more than 10 times actually, yeah, by clients. They will say things, for example, I am an Aries, yeah? Is that good? Oh, okay, so now I know my moon sign is in Pisces, but is that good? Right? People tend to ask those questions, right? And this has a lot to do with archetypes, I think, because all the constellation signs and also even the planets, right? The sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, actually all of them are, you know, at a very basic level, they're archetypes. So they represent certain basic psychological pattern actually in our mind. And so when someone says, oh, I'm an Aries, is that good? Basically, I think what we need to understand is that you are not an Aries. You carry, you know, the Aries archetype actually in you, but you also carry other archetypes. You might be a sun sign in Aries, your moon sign is in Pisces, and your ascendant sign might be Taurus. And so you carry all those three archetypes actually in you. And when we really cast an astrological natal chart, and we're seeing that all the 12 zodiac signs are following the 12 houses on the wheel, and we will find all the... archetypes in you. But, you know, they're scattered, you know, in different areas in your life. And I... pretty think that by learning those archetypes, it will really help us to understand our certain patterns. And when we deal with people, you know, how we react, especially our emotional reaction, also at the same time, what could help us actually achieve more in either our career or other areas of life. And so I really think that these two aspects are really the archetypes and how we can use those archetypes to help us. Yeah.
So each individual, then they have like three archetypes within them, like their rising sign, their astrological sign, their I better let you say it because I'm blanking on one of those.
So the sun sign, moon sign, the rising sign, right?
That's yeah, that was
yeah.
Each one of those then represents something that will influence a person's behavior, either their emotions or their feelings, their actions.
This is a great question, Richard. Thanks for asking. I'm sure a lot of our audience might also have questions about this, yeah.
So can you, for instance, I'm a Taurus, and I have a Libra, and the third one is Aquarius. I have an Aquarius moon.
So your sun sign is Taurus, right? Did you say your sun sign is Taurus?
Yes.
Okay. Sun sign Taurus, moon sign in Aquarius, and your rising sign is Libra.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So maybe we could just use your three signs as an example. I'm sure our audience, some of our audience would also be interested in, you know, so what is sun sign, moon sign, the rising sign about, right? Are these the same or what does that mean? So the sun sign is basically the constellation sign and the moment you were born and where the sun is. Let's say you were born on January the 1st in 1970 and at that moment, let's say you were born 2 p.m. in Hong Kong. And at that moment when you pop out, where the sun is, the sun is shining in the same direction with a constellation of, let's say, Taurus, right, for example, something like that. And the sun sign is talking about the direction that we're moving towards. Because the sun is illumination. It's where we see the light. And so to put it in a nutshell, the sun sign is about where we find light, let's say, and where we become, the one that we're supposed to be. It's a destination, it's the illumination, and it's the goal of this lifetime to embrace certain qualities. And so let's say if you're a Taurus, sun sign, Taurus is about several different things. Taurus could be talking about our ability to understand our self-value. Because Taurus rules money. Money, value, our self-value, our talent and our skills. Sometimes Taurus is also talking about the quality of being patient and being very grounded. And so these are the qualities and the things that we might need to learn and to master as a Taurus person. And the moon sign in Aquarius is interesting because moon is not really about what we learn or what we become, but it's something we naturally carry. Because the moon is talking about our emotions, feelings, our early childhood. Sometimes it's also talking about our mother. So if your moon sign is in Aquarius, perhaps the mother is carrying very strong Aquarius energy. And moon sign and Aquarius people, generally speaking, they are very democratic. They like to, Aquarius is a sign of community. It's a sign of friendship. It's a sign of objectivity. It's a sign for equality, things like that. And sometimes Aquarius also rules astrology and the stars, and those are future. And so moon sign in Aquarius people, generally speaking, they usually feel emotionally fulfilled when they have when they feel a sense of belonging in the group. They have friends. They know that they are hanging out with the right people, and they belong, and they feel accepted, by the right community and around them. And generally speaking, they're also very self-reflective. They're usually very aware of how they are feeling. Instead of, compared to Moon and Leo people's emotion is more subjective, They feel what they feel, but they don't really reflect on that. But Aquarius is a very self-reflective energy, actually. And that's not something we need to learn, because Moon sign is our natural reaction towards things. And finally, we're coming to the ascendant sign or rising sign. So you see, if the moon is where we come from and the sun is where we're walking towards, then the ascendant sign is our path. It's through what path or through what method that we're reaching the sun. And so, all of these three signs, they carry different meanings. And by understanding those three important energies on our astrological chart, and usually we'll be able to find the right way to approach our challenges or choosing them in the right direction for us.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com. Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films, Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday Night Just Got Better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Latao, I didn't know I was going to wind up getting a wonderful reading from you, so thank you very much. And I hope anyone in our audience who is a Taurus or has a Virgo Libra rising or a Aquarius moon can now have some special insights.
Sure.
I know that for anyone who's new to astrology, you talk about the zodiac wheel and how can we utilize Oracle of the Celestial Deities with the 12-card draw for a more intuitive reading?
Well, actually, the 12-card wheel is quite a complex system, yeah? And so in the guidebook, I actually mentioned three different spreads, you know, the one-card spread, and then there's also a two-card spread. There's also four-card spread. Sorry, so there were four spreads that I mentioned in the guidebook. And I would say if you are new to astrology, it's better to stay with the one-card spread or the two-card spread and get used to the cards, right? Yeah. If you are already an avid astrology fan and you know quite a lot about how astrology works, the zodiac wheel, then you can really do a complete spread with 12 cards, actually, out of the 20-card stack. And you will put each card in one astrological house, which completes the 12 houses. And each card would be talking about the energy that you are carrying in that specific astrology house. For example, the first house is talking about yourself, your physical appearance, your body, you know, how you see yourself. The second house rules your money, your possessions, your talents, your skills. The third house rules the way you talk, your communication, and the fourth house rules your family and home, your mother and father. And so if you are more familiar with the astrological wheel, then you can try that spread. You can even mix these two decks together, you know, the Oracle of the Mythic Heroes and Oracle of the Celestial Deities. And, you know, use the total 60 cards and to see what kind of spread that you can do based on the astrological wheel.
Each year, you journey to Greece to reconnect with deities and mythology. How do these adventures support your work as a spiritual counselor and professional astrologist?
Well, that's a little bit like a battery recharge for me, to be honest. See, I'm actually going again this September. I'm sure you will not be surprised. So this year, I will be traveling with a good friend to the north part of Greece in a region called Pelion. So it's a mountain area, yeah? And that's, in mythology, that's where the centaur Chiron is from. Actually, if you visit Pelion these days, you will find a cave there, and it literally says Chiron's cave. And in the myth, and, you know, that's where Chiron lived, you know, this space. And I'm sure we'll get there and to check it out. But for me, I think visit Greece, right, going to see those fascinating places and the ancient ruins was a little bit like my energy recharge for me. It's a time when I feel that I can receive some guidance from the gods and goddesses, sometimes even with the heroes. We're going to stay in a town this time called Volos, and that's where, you know, the story Jason and the Argonauts started in Greek myth. Literally, the Argonauts left you know, from Volos, this city. And of course, in the ancient time, it was a different name. But, you know, and then you also find a lot of the hero stories there, and you feel like, wow, I'm standing on the land where Jason, you know, started his journey. And then somehow I felt, you know, connected to that hero or connected to, that deity. And, for me, it was just, you know, a very important thing to do. And I feel I'm closer to what I always believe in. And I feel I'm reconnected with them. It's a little bit like, you know, a Muslim person but once, their lifetime, they will journey to, Mecca, right? And they will, you know, do the pilgrimage. And that's famous for them, and that's also important to them. So I think it's a little bit like a similar feeling. Yeah.
It's really fascinating to hear you describe this, because clearly, if we in this lifetime had an opportunity to know all of the many lifetimes that we have lived, it's like by going back to Greece and going to these different places where Jason and the Argonauts were, where Zeus was, where that you are able to ground yourself and reconnect and in a sense relive those moments that happened and then brought you back to this land. Do you ever have dreams when you're there that are unusual?
I actually have dreams a lot. I have dreams all the time, either when I'm traveling or not traveling, you know, good dreams, bad dreams. But it's very interesting because I rarely dream. Those, you know, heroes and heroines, they actually never really appeared in my dream. But somehow, you know, I might dream something very random, right? And I wake up. And I connect that with a mythological figure that I've been working with. Either it's, you know, in my meditation or whatever that is. And so I do feel that there are certain messages being conveyed by them to me. More often than not is after the dream when I wake up and I can connect the dots. But I really liked what you said earlier about, you know, it's a way for me to ground myself. Because, you know, when I'm not in Greece or when I'm not in Rome, in Italy, those stories are in my mind. And those stories are, you know, you read that through a book or you just, you know, think about those things in your mind. But when you're really there, in the Greece and in Italy, you reconnect with those, you know, you're literally standing in the temple of Zeus or you're standing in the temple of Juno. And it gives you a very overwhelming feeling, and it feels like finally I'm here, and I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to work with you, and thank you for bringing me here. And it's a fascinating feeling to have. So even though, you know, from Hong Kong to Greece or to Italy, it's a long way. You know, we actually don't have direct flights from Hong Kong to Athens. So I had to also transfer, you know, so the total flight time was like over 16 hours. You know, you have to wait in the airport and everything, and it was so expensive for me to go. But it was my spiritual battery, you know. And so, you know, no matter how difficult it is for me, I'll try to, you know, stay at, you know, cheaper hotels. I will, you know, somehow try to save a little bit more money, but it was a must do for me every year.
Wow. That, it is wonderful that you can do that for yourself, and at the same time you're doing it for everyone that will have a reading with you, because as you said, you're recharging, re-energizing and learning and experiencing. And I just I wish we could continue talking for hours, but we're coming up on the end here, and I just want to remind our listeners that they can go to your website, www.thehealingkingdom.com, and if they're so inclined and want to get a copy of Oracle of the Celestial Deities, it is now out, and Oracle of the Mythic Heroes, I think they will find that you are a brilliant author, and they will gain so much insight into their own lives. Thank you very much, Latow.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard, for having me today.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it. Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com. Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.